Off the Ball Breakfast.
Premier League is so soft this season. Like, they could slug a Champions League. Like, the damning indictment of everyone else, to be honest, United are competing with these teams.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the Ball Daily.
Good evening. You're welcome along to Wednesday night's Off the Ball. We've got a cracking show coming your way between now and 10 o'clock this evening. From 7:30, we're going to be zooming in to Kilbritton, County Cork. They are All-Ireland Club junior champions in their hurling. They won by a point against Eastgate at the weekend, and it was an absolutely incredible moment for the Wall family. We're going to be speaking to Philip Wall, the captain, and his brother Jamie. You'll have seen that photograph of them embracing on the side of the pitch after their victory, and they have had a hell of a few days down in Cork, so we'll be getting the latest from them from 7:30. From 8 o'clock, we're going to be speaking to Johnny Nelson, former world champion boxer. So this is a really interesting one. You'll have seen the new movie that's come out about Prince Nassim Hammad called Giant. You've got Pierce Brosnan starring as Brendan Ingle in this movie. You'll probably be familiar with their story, that it is one where Prince rises to the very top of the world, becomes a world champion, and then they have a big falling out. And for the last couple of decades of Brendan Ingle's life, there is no communication whatsoever with Prince Nassim. They never reconciled before he passed away. So it's a rather tragic one and a really, really sad one. But what's happened over the last couple of weeks is that Prince Nassim has come out swinging, really, against his former coach, talking about his love of money, questioning how responsible he really was for his greatness as a boxer in the ring. Johnny Nelson was somebody who also fought from this gym in Sheffield, also became a world champion. And it's fair to say that Johnny Nelson is not happy about this. He is not happy with the fact that Prince Nassim has come out saying this sort of stuff over the last couple of weeks. So we're going to get Johnny Nelson on the radio at 8 o'clock and he's going to set the record straight about the reality of Brendan Ingle and what his legacy really should be painted as opposed to the one that Prince has painted it as over the past couple of weeks. Fiona Hayes is going to join us later on as well before 9 o'clock. It's been a busy day in the rugby rumour mill and in terms of some concrete deals as well. And then from 9 o'clock is the football show with Owen Doyle. We'll be keeping a close eye on Arsenal against Chelsea in the EFL Cup, and I dare say the VAR saga from last night is going to come up in that hour as well. Our number is 087-9180-180 if you want to drop us a WhatsApp message. Cameron Hill is here. Hello, Cameron.
Owens.
Owen Doyle is the other Owen, of course, who's popped in for the news round. How are you, Owen?
All good, Owen.
Burrito night?
Oh, always, yeah. Always. Yeah. Funny way you get me in here, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, how was it?
10 out of 10. Yeah, 10 out of 10. Yeah.
Do you think to yourself before you go in there that it might actually just drop to a 9 or an 8 or a 7 today, but every time it just catches you, but it's 10 out of 10.
Yeah, just never disappointed. Like, the consistency is bang on there. I walked in tonight, I was like, will I try a, is it a quesadilla? Is that you?
Yeah.
And it just didn't, because I was just afraid it wouldn't be up to the standard. So I know what I like. I went after it again.
Play it safe.
I'm a happy man.
It's the way to do it. It sounds like that was a little bit more enjoyable than the football you were watching earlier.
Yeah, it wasn't a great match. I watched the semi-final there between Senegal and Egypt, and Egypt were awful. Really, really poor. Like, really poor now. They only had their, I think they had their first shot on target in the 93rd minute. It was some distance from Marmoush. And their play was just very little possession of the ball. And their pass in the final third was awful. Like, they were really, really bad for a semi-final team, like, you know. And you get to them stages sometimes of these tournaments and it can be very conservative and there's not much happening. You have to give the Senegal, like, they tried their best. I think they had four times the amount of shots than Egypt did, and it's that man Mane that pops up with the winner to get them through. It was I think it was a scuffed shot from a guy, I think it was, in the middle of the pitch, and it lands on Mane's chest unexpectedly, about 20-22 yards out. Just takes on his chest, just smashes it in to the bottom corner from maybe about 22-25 yards out from about the middle of the pitch. It goes through a couple of defenders' legs, the keeper's blinded, and that was enough to see them over the line. But Egypt, not much in them at all. They never looked like even trying to get back into it. A couple of hopeless, hopeful crosses laid on the box, but no desire really there to get on the end of them and try to get the equaliser. And Senegal, very much worthy winners.
Yeah, so they're into the final, Manny, with a 78th minute winner. They're going to play the winners of Nigeria and Morocco, which kicks off in just under an hour's time at this stage. It could be the last time Salah and Mane go toe to toe, unless, of course, Salah moves to the Saudi Pro League and they face off together there. Like, the writing around this is just kind of a reminder of how the pair of them kind of tolerated each other at Liverpool. There's never really been a great love for one another, and then that rivalry has kind of been transplanted onto the international stage, where Senegal have basically got the better of them in all the meaningful matches.
Yeah, it's obviously remarkable. They're probably, the two of them are probably, in my eyes anyway, part of one of the best front trees the Premier League's ever seen. I know that's up for debate, but them two with Firmino were electric for them a number of years under Klopp. Them two in particular, because of Firmino's selflessness, it was like the two alpha males. Keep them on the opposite sides of the pitch, but let them both go do their thing, and they both definitely did do their thing. They were amazing for them few years. But yeah, like, you could see they both had a ruthless edge, single minded, and but were able to produce for it. To be fair, the most entertaining part of that first half tonight was Mané had the ball and Salah ran back, accidentally tripped him up.
Right.
And obviously conceded a free kick, and the two managers then had a bit of a barney on the sideline. There was a bit of a scuffle, and that was the most entertaining part of that first half because nothing else was going on.
Right. Did they look like tournament winners, Senegal? I mean,
I've watched very little of this, but I watched a bit of the Morocco game in the last before the.
You fancy them over Senegal?
Yeah, I think so.
Especially
yeah.
with the home crowd at their back.
Yeah, and they look like a bit more energy than Senegal there. They're at the Luke Koulibaly came off injured, but he's also suspended. He got a yellow card, but he's out for the final and ended up coming off injured as well, so he'll be a big miss for Senegal.
Nigeria, a really, really tough opponent though for Morocco tonight, and they've had their own problems, as we were discussing last week, in terms of a little bit of infighting on the pitch, but they seem to have ironed that out pretty well, so they're in good nick going into that, so we'll keep you up to speed on that as well. But I think, Cameron, it is the other 8 o'clock fixture, the one a little bit closer to home that you're kicking off tonight's news round with.
Big EFL Cup semi-final first leg tonight, Owen, and Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta says his team is more efficient this season as they stay on the hunt for four trophies. They take on Chelsea at Stamford Bridge in that first leg tonight from 8 o'clock. Arteta's side lost to Newcastle at the same stage last year.
Now we have to knock another big team out of the competition to be in the final, and that's the mission. Hopefully we learn from last year, because it was painful, especially the manner that the games went and the amount of chances that we missed not to go through.
Chelsea boss Liam Rosenior says Arsenal's success this season isn't solely down to set pieces. He knows that they're going to face a big challenge from their London rivals tonight.
Arsenal good at everything. They're good at everything. They're a good team. It's not about taking a game back in time. You manage your 1% to be as good a team to win as many different ways as possible. I respect them. I don't know who's calling them Set Piece FC. I'm definitely not.
The question, I presume, was referring to Set Piece FC. Will I go through the teams, or do you have them there, Cameron?
You can go through them.
So
why not?
It's interesting to look at the contrast in terms of Rosenior and Arteta and how they're approaching this. So a few bigger absences for Chelsea, basically. So there's no Cole Palmer, no Reece James, no Moises Caicedo for Chelsea tonight. Their team is Robert Sanchez and goals at back four of Achimpong, Chalaba, Fofana and Cucurella. It's a midfield of Enzo Fernandez and Andre Santos. And then it's Estevao on the right, Pedro Neto on the left, and João Pedro just playing behind Marc Guiu. So a rather attacking team from Chelsea, but as I say, missing three of their key players, none of whom are on the bench tonight for them. For Arsenal then, probably nine out of their first choice 11, if Mikel Arteta's picking on form or what his preferred 11 is. You've got Kepa, Arrizabalaga and Ben White starting tonight, but the rest of the team is as expected. White's at right back, it's Gabriel and Saliba at centre back, Jurrien Timber at left back. Then it's a midfield of Zubimendi, Rice and Martin Odegaard behind Saka, Gyökeres and Leandro Trossard. So this game is an 8 o'clock kickoff at Stamford Bridge. Who are you favouring this one, Owen, over two legs?
Yeah, it's hard to see past Arsenal at the minute. I fancied them for the Premier League, and anytime you see them go away, obviously you're looking at Chelsea's team there. They've gone a bit of a weaker side, and Arsenal look relatively strong there. You see Kai Havertz on the bench there as well. Jesus starting to get some, even Mourinho is good for a goal off the bench as well. You know, they're starting to get some big players back fit for them.
Yeah, for sure. Some massive broadcasting news today, Cameron.
Huge news, Owen. The League of Ireland has announced a new 3-year broadcast agreement with Off the Ball. The new deal will bring a number of live national radio commentary games to 33 across the new 2026 SSE Airtricity Men's Premier Division. Alongside the live League of Ireland match nights, Off the Ball will also broadcast fixtures from the 2026 Men's and Women's FAI Cups.
Any news on whether they've managed to tempt key Virgin pundit Owen Doyle from the TV onto the radio on Friday nights?
I haven't heard anything yet, but I will keep my ear to the grapevine, as that we could do to the grapevine.
Phone's always on, lads.
Phone's always on.
Yeah, yeah.
Come get me, says Owen Doyle.
I don't like missing the League of Ireland matches, so there's an opportunity there. I'd love to.
Okay, for any night theory, have you got your calendar dates already penciled in for TV?
No, nothing.
It's quite late in the day.
Yeah, is it? Maybe I got the bullet.
What's Virgin doing? Pick up the phone to Owen Doyle now. He'll pay you back with burritos.
Yeah.
So starting, what are we, 2 weeks away from it? Two weeks away at this point. So coming very, very close. And any early signs of what way you're leaning? Is it going to be like Shamrock Rovers, everybody to beat Shamrock Rovers? Or have you got any early hot takes for us before the season beginning?
I'd be a believer Shamrock Rovers will go do it again. I think they've got the strongest squad. I'd expect them to sign a couple more still. Obviously I think Derry have been recruited. I've been recruiting. I think maybe with their recruitment there hasn't been, might come across as disrespectful, but it's a very scattered gun for me, you know. Lots of players going to the same positions, they're going after players that they had previously and stuff. And I don't know, Shelbourne have obviously made a big sign today as well. First, I think it's the biggest fee ever spent across border into the for me it'll be Rovers to win it with Shelbourne as the nearest rivals, I'd imagine.
Okay, so this is Oran Casey that they've signed today.
Yeah, Dung defender. Yeah.
Okay, so it's a record fee in terms of within the island of Ireland.
From the north to the south. For a League of Ireland club. Oh no, sorry, it's the record fee for a League of Ireland club buying a player.
Okay, right.
Yeah, yeah. So they've just spent the six figures on a player, which shows you the strength of which the way the league is going.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Obviously that comes from, the league, the money that's been swilling around the last couple of years. It's going to be fascinating now to see what the next couple of transfer windows actually look like for League of Ireland clubs. There's obviously one or two very famous examples of kids that are making the move over to England. And say, for example, when you look at like what Pats are going to do with the Melia money, is going to be a fascinating question over the next couple of years. But that's the tap just being turned on. So you'd imagine this record is going to get broken pretty quickly again. Maybe not this year, but next year or the year after.
Regarding the sell-on?
Yeah.
Well, the Melia one has already been broken, I think, with Oisin Fiona leaving for Arsenal.
But in terms of the money that they're getting in terms of what they're going to be spending, the 100k today.
You'd imagine so. Yeah, they obviously need to be very careful with these types of things. It's like even looking at that Shells acquisition there, and while it's exciting, it's all very good. It's six figures for a kid that's not playing in a full-time league or playing full-time football potentially up there. I think they've got a bit of a hybrid model up at Cliftonville, so it's a very interesting one. Like, you know, he must be a really good prospect. I haven't seen him now, but he must be a really, really good prospect if they're willing to fork out that type of money for the young lad that's been playing mostly part-time football.
Speaking of transfers, Cameron, we have news of Conor Gallagher.
Yeah, he's heading to Spurs, Owen, completing the signing of Conor Gallagher today, joining the Premier League club from Atletico Madrid in a deal worth in the region of €40 million. He's signed a contract until the summer of 2031. And just to round off the story you were mentioning there, Shelbourne, of course, announcing the signing of defender Odron Casey from NIFL side Cliftonville. 150 appearances for the 23-year-old at Solitude. He's been capped for Northern Ireland at underage level. He comes off the back of Lewis Temple signing from Shelbourne to Bolton Wanderers for a six-figure fee, I believe, last week.
We have Scottish Premiership action tonight.
And Celtic manager Martin O'Neill says it wouldn't be fair on former boss Wilfred Nancy for him to praise the attitude of the players at the club. Nancy was sacked after just 8 matches, with O'Neill returning for his third spell in charge. They can move up to second in the Scottish Premiership with a win at Falkirk tonight, while Hearts can go 6 points clear at the top if they beat St Mirren. Both of those games getting underway at 7:45.
It's kind of snuck up on us as a fairly busy night of football. Obviously Chelsea versus Arsenal, we've mentioned the AFCON semi-final, you've mentioned Falkirk versus Celtic tonight, and Troy Parrott is playing against Ajax tonight as well. That's an 8 o'clock kickoff for AZ Alkmaar against Ajax. So Parrott is starting up front tonight. That's in the KNVB Baker, which is the cup there, I presume.
Oh, they'd be devastated when they hear he's playing. I just want them wrapping cotton wool till March.
Yeah.
Don't risk that fella at all.
I mean, it's quite selfish of Alkmaar to think about their own fortune for them trying to win a cup when the Republic of Ireland exists. What have you got next, Cameron?
Well, the GAA has conceded that the 2027 deadline for integration with the LGFA and Camogie Association is now unrealistic. The association's management committee met last month and decided that the timeline for the full merging of the three bodies was now impractical. The project is considered of being the utmost strategic importance for the association, and the belief of the management committee is that the three bodies should become one on a phased basis. Now, chairperson of the steering committee and former president of Ireland, Mary McAleese, had attended an Oireachtas meeting with GAA president Charlotte Burns and director general Tom Ryan, among others last month and told TDs and senators that the 2027 deadline was realisable.
Okay, so there seems to be a little difference of opinion here. I mean, it feels like such a massive project, a complicated project. I don't think when this thing is actually brought through, it's going to be perfect at the start. But it does feel, in terms of the information that we've been getting, that next year, which was the initial deadline, just doesn't seem achievable at all, unless they've kept everything very much under wraps.
No, it seems like there's quite of an impasse now between the two bodies. I think Mary McAleese, when she heard that this was an unrealistic prospect, 2027, that she was quite disappointed. And there was, from the reports I've read today, quite a robust exchange of views between the various different bodies involved. This was kind of flagged ages ago, like back in October. Aisling Mara was up before the Oireachtas Committee as part of the GPA delegation and had flagged that 2027, it's her fear that that wouldn't be realistic at this point because of the lack of communication between the various governing bodies and clubs, because clubs ultimately are going to bear the brunt of this in terms of their sharing of resources and pitches and facilities and everything. It's very disappointing if that's the case, because this feels like it's been on the back burner. If you go through the last year or so, there's been very little writing about integration. It's become something of a non-issue and very much buried down the Google search reviews and the media kind of smorgasbord of topics. And that's a huge disappointment for the likes of the LGFA and Camogie Association, considering how prominent Camogie was last year and the issues that people were able to row in behind. Integration just seems to have not caught the imagination in the same way that, say, the Scorts issue did at all. And when you compare, we had the chair of Cork GAA on a couple of years ago now at this stage, and how important he felt that it would be from a commercial point of view, because sponsors and prospective sponsors to the GAA in 2024 were talking about integration as this frontline issue. And what are you going to do about this? Because they felt like it was a hot button topic. That seems to have fallen away again. So all the momentum behind this is kind of gone already, you feel?
Yeah, like you're right. It's not been a subject that's been front and center for the last 12 months, it feels, which kind of suggests to me maybe a lack of progress, which results in the headline that we're getting today. You do have one or two other bits of Gaelic Games news?
Yeah, Cork has announced that Dara Fitzgibbon has been appointed captain of their senior hurlers for the new season. He made a senior debut for Cork as a 19-year-old in 2017, with the role of vice-captain being filled by Mark Coleman of Blarney. It's semi-finals night in football's Dr. McKenna Cup tonight. Last year's beaten All-Ireland finalist Donegal make the trip to their neighbours Derry, while Monaghan welcome 17-time winners Tyrone to Inishkeen. Both of those last four ties get underway at 7:30 this evening.
Today has kind of felt like the NBA trade deadline, but in rugby form. There are so many rumours, so many pieces of concrete news, and so many prospective things about to happen in rugby's transfer market.
Yeah, and it looks like Connacht are going to do the best out of all the sides from an Irish provincial standpoint. So the 42 reported earlier that Leinster flanker and chop tackle specialist Will Connors is set to reunite with former head coach Stuart Lancaster at the Westerners. Connors, who has 8 caps for Ireland, has struggled for game time with Leinster in recent seasons. Through injury, he would follow in the footsteps of out-half Kieran Frawley, whose move was confirmed last week. According to reports in the Irish Independent, Connacht are also closing in on signing Bath prop Francois Van Vaik. That move is set to go through this summer. He's won Premiership titles with Leicester Tigers and Bath, of course, last year, and enjoyed stints at Northampton Saints and Super Rugby franchise Western Force. Elsewhere, La Rochelle second row Ulton Delan could be heading back to Ireland when his contract expires at the end of the season. It seems Munster are the front runners to snap up the Tralee man who helped Ronan O'Gara's side to 2 Champions Cup and was also part of that Connacht Pro 12 winning side in 2016. Talks are understood to have taken place between the two parties, but they're on the hunt for a second row option following confirmation yesterday that South African lock Sean Klein is leaving for Gloucester at the end of term. And the most striking and spectacular and probably most unlikely of the rumours today, Owen, is that Ardie Savea is one of a number of players considering a move abroad. The New Zealand Herald reported this morning that Savea is unhappy with the current All Blacks setup under head coach Scott Robertson. The report indicates that the former World Player of the Year could walk away from New Zealand ahead of their 2027 Rugby World Cup campaign. It could mean he stays in Japan with the Kobe Steelers, but in that report, Leinster has been floated as a possible alternative destination.
Yeah, that's not going to happen though, is it?
I mean, yeah, probably not. Great.
One can dream. 100%. Although I would say maybe a different Irish province could do with Savé's talents more so than Leinster. I mean, I think he'd like the surrounds of Limerick more so than Dublin. The story here, though, is the All Blacks. When you have a player of his talents going up against a coach ahead of a World Cup, who's going to win? Hmm. Like, if the player is going to win in the situation, I guess the question for New Zealand is how much do they value Ardie Savea in 2027? Like, obviously one of the best players in the world at the last World Cup. Is he still that same player at the next World Cup? Maybe not, still in a great place in his career. So if it's going to be Robertson or maybe a top level Savea, they'd probably go with the player in that instance. So that's going to be a fascinating one to watch over the coming months. He's only 32 years of age. So you'd imagine they're still expecting big things from him next year.
You're writing his eulogy, yes. Jeez, yeah. He still has plenty in the tank. Doesn't look great in terms of what's happening at the All Blacks right now from Scott Robertson's perspective. I know Jason Holland was a recent departure from his setup and saw rumours and reports that maybe Jamie Joseph has been lined up as a possible replacement to Robertson if the unhappiness continues. So probably watch that space would be my suggestion.
You have one other piece of news here as well, Ulster signing, not that Snyman.
Actual confirmed transfer news today. They've confirmed the signing of second row Eli Snyman on a 2-year deal, not related to RG in any way, but the Zimbabwean born lock will arrive in Belfast this summer following the end of his current contract with Italian URC side Benetton. He's also enjoyed a stint with the South African franchise Blue Bulls in both the Super Rugby and the Currie Cup.
Onto the golf then.
Well, Shane Lowry and Rory McIlroy have been paired together for the first two rounds of the Dubai Invitational. The Ryder Cup teammates tee off their opening rounds at Creek Resort from 5:30 Irish time tomorrow morning. Padraig Harrington and Tom McKibben also part of the field at the DP World Tour event. Meanwhile, Tiger Woods believes that Brooke Koepka's return to the PGA Tour is a win for everyone after he quit LIV Golf. A change of rules has allowed him to be reinstated, with players who've won a major tournament or the Players' Championship in the last 4 years welcome back. Woods, who's also on the PGA Tour board, says it's a better place to play with Koepka involved.
Yeah, but a bit of a setback for the PGA Tour since we covered the story with Alan Shipnuck last night. So basically the other big trio that will be available to go back to the Tour in John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau and Cameron Smith are all sticking with LIV Golf, it seems. Rahm wished Brooks the best, but he's not planning to go anywhere. He's focused on LIV for this year, hoping his team can repeat his champs, is what he was saying. DeChambeau is the key in all of this, as we were discussing last night. He is possibly the hottest property in world golf right now, and LIV has his talents in their tour. If he were to go alongside Brooks Koepka, it could be curtains for LIV. But he said he's contracted through 2026. He's so excited about this year. And then when it comes to Cameron Smith, who really is the least important in this little tug of war, he said that he has made a decision, and will be on LIV for years to come. So he's probably given the most forthright. DeChambeau saying he's contracted through 2026, maybe opens the door next year again. So Koepka seems to be the only one who's going to be jumping back. Finally then, the tennis.
Yes, amateur tennis player Jordan Smith beat Australian Open champion Jannik Sinner on his way to winning $1 million Australian dollar dues, or €573,000, in the 1-point slam in Melbourne. The unique competition sees players need to win just 1 point to progress to the next round. Carlos Alcaraz, Iga Swiatek and Sasha Zverev were among the big names to take part. Smith took on women's world number 117, Joanna Garland, in the final.
I don't know anymore. Like, yeah, again, coming in to tonight, I just, again, happy with just winning 1 point. So I was so nervous, but no, I enjoyed being out here, and it was a great experience. So I just thank everyone.
What sport that you're an amateur at, Owen, would you fancy yourself against the pros at?
Very little, I'd assume. Don't think I'd ever be able to win a point in tennis.
Well, how many points did they play to allow him to win one? Or was it? Did they only play 1 point?
It's only 1 point. You're only allowed one serve. One point.
And what if, like, if Sinner hits the net? Is that
that's
like,
gone?
I think that's exactly how he won his point against Sinner. Actually,
it wasn't him actually winning it. It was Sinner making a mistake.
And I think it's point one. Listen,
yeah, no, listen.
There are two sides to the story.
£1 million, like, you know, I think you might have to go and earn it.
And I think, apparently they all leaned into this a lot more this year, like they did it last year as well.
Yeah.
But then this year you had, like, Nick Kyrgios, like, smashing his racket in it, like, performatively so, to try and ham it up. So, yeah, this guy, to be fair, is pretty good. I think he's like New South Wales amateur champion or something
like that.
He's got a bit about him. He's not an average Joe rocking up and beating Yannick Sinner in 1 point. Cameron, thank you very much for tonight's news round. Owen, you're going to stick with us for the football show at 9 o'clock. Just to tell you as well that Braeburn Coffee is the official coffee partner of Off the Ball. With Braeburn Coffee's new oat range, you can enjoy an oat matcha, hot chocolate or mocha available at select locations. Make it oat official with Braeburn Coffee. Oh, amazingly easy. We've got loads still to come. We'll be checking in with the Walls down in Kilbritton after the break.
Off the Ball Daily.